brother, man. I'm your brother. Always got to have some Michael McDonald when it comes to Yacht Rock Thursday. Be careful out there, folks. We finally got some rain, and, you know, people really don't know how to act when the rain starts coming down. People definitely don't know how to drive because they're not used to having it. But please be careful out there. I know the roads are probably slick, but I know our grass is very, very happy. I wonder if Bucky's outside in the rain right now. I hope he's got some clothes on. Our man Bucky Gobble.
Oh, he don't want to get his clothes wet.
He don't want to get his clothes wet, so he probably took them off. Great stuff earlier by our man Michael Felder. Make sure you follow him at In the Bleachers, In the Bleachers. Michael Felder does great work over at Stadium. He also does some good stuff on the grill, too. So he's not afraid of showing you what he's got cooking up because, like he said, he likes to get down.
We will say, I just saw a report from the Sark Presser that he says he has a pretty good idea who the QB is. But there, he's not broken. We have not broken the news yet.
Yeah, Mike, when he said that, me and you both looked at each other and like, oh, wait, we didn't get an alert. We didn't get an alert to find out who the quarterback was. But we will find out, and I definitely believe that it's going to happen after the scrimmage. Well, let's get into this Deshaun Watson situation. We talked about it at the very beginning of the show. It's the biggest news that is out there. Deshaun Watson has officially been suspended for 11 games. The first suspension came out. It was for 6. Roger Goodell had been screaming and yelling from the very beginning, even before the ruling had happened from the previous judge. He wanted a full season. He was very, very adamant about it for his sponsors, the endorsers, the women that work in the league, the women that watch the league, the parents, the moms, everybody that was involved, the ladies that were affected by this situation. And now they went back, they appealed it, and now it's at 11 games and a $5 million fine. So Deshaun Watson will now have to wait until October 30th. That's when the suspension starts. They've already said, Kevin Stefanski has already said, Deshaun Watson will no longer play in the preseason games, which is probably a smart move on that because, Patrick, as we got a chance to hear when he played in that first game, the fans were in unison when they were calling his name, and it was not his name. It was what they thought of him during that time. So it was probably a good decision for him not to be on the field anymore. I know that he wanted to get some reps in and the coaches wanted to do it, but they've already said Jacoby Brissett is going to be our quarterback. We'll get into that conversation as well in a little bit to what we think is going to what the Browns should do or should not do. But Jacoby Brissett is now going to be the starting quarterback, and Stefanski feels that that's the right move. But during the time when all this was happening, Deshaun also – along with the $5 million fine, he is to undergo evaluation by behavioral experts and follow their suggested treatment plan. If he does not follow their plan and show that he is making progress in this situation, the NFL can also delay his return to the NFL and possibly add more discipline to his sentence. This is a lot. So during this 11-game suspension, when he comes back, who do they play in their first game, Patrick?
Week 13, the Houston Texans.
Uh-oh.
That team. And look, Houston's trying to lose now, I think, so they're fine with it. Yeah. But, I mean, the question is going to be, I mean, you see why he isn't playing in the preseason is you go, man, 11 games, that's 12 weeks of our season. We better get Jacoby Brissett really up with our number one squad because he's going to be playing a lot of games with them. He's going to be playing the majority of games. I mean, even if we go to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl, Jacoby Brissett is playing more games than Deshaun Watson in this season.
Yeah.
So no we doubt. Need to get him reps with the number one guys and the number one squad. So, I mean, I think you just, as perseverance sake, you have to take him out of the games now. Say, hey, man, we have to move on without you. And when you come back, we can work you back in. But, yeah, it's interesting to see because this is also when you go through the suspension, they went and had the appeals process. It was supposed to be an expedited appeal.
And it was not.
It was not at all. Because I believe there was always this hope that they could reach a settlement because in the settlement, they know they're not going to have a lawsuit.
Right.
If they let it go and say, all right, we're going a year and indefinite, then they know lawsuits to be coming. So I think they were holding out a lot longer just to try and get it to, look, let's find out where we can get, what's the most we can get you to take.
Right.
And we realized he did not want to give up money and he did not want to give up more than – He would rather give up games and money is, right. I think, what we came to. Because if I'm Deshaun Watson and I really want to be on the field, I'll go, give me 8 games. Let me come back after that bye week. and I'll pay you $15 million. I'll pay you $20 million. Because I'll just go to the owners. I'll go over to my owner and go, hey, man, I need some more money. They'll go, okay, whatever. We just want you to play. I think that we've seen when he was willing to sit out a full season to go where he wanted. I don't know if he's really bought into the team this year. I think he's going to try and come back, use the end of this year to move ahead, and then next season start anew. But, yeah, it's weird that in a settlement, and he went with, he said 8 games of $5 million.
Yep.
They put 3 more on it. We talked before about it, adding double digits was going to be probably too much, that they were going to have a lawsuit if they did it. So 5 games seems right in that fit.
Yeah, so it's right there in that middle part of it where you're going to look at it and say, okay, is that enough? Is that enough money? People continue to want to have their opinion about it. He was already, you know, the court did not find him guilty of anything. Roger Goodell was screaming from the very beginning that he wanted him done for a year, which he rightfully should do because he's got a lot of people that he needs to answer to. The owners are already mad at the Browns for even giving him a guaranteed contract. And the way that they structured it was one of the most genius things by his agent.
Yeah.
And for him to get all this guaranteed money, which changed the entire way that the quarterback market is going to be looked at now, but I think it got reset when Kyler Murray got his money because he didn't get it all guaranteed. And there's so much that goes into this. So when you look at his contract, and I was looking at this, the structure of his contract for this year, his base salary for this season is $1.035 million. Watson is going to lose $57,500 per game.
Yeah.
Plus the $5 million that he will have to pay in a fine. So the total this year for this season up until that point will be $632,500.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really? Well, so, harsh.
They're so tough on him. But next year, when you look at his record, his base salary automatically jumps to $46 million in 2023. $44.965 signing bonus.
Yeah.
For next year.
Because that was the deal. They spread it out that his signing bonus is huge over. So the signing bonus, I think, is spread out over the entire years where he's getting basically $8 to $9 million a year every year, this contract signing bonus. But yeah, the salary itself, from everything I've seen, is extremely like this season. And for him to get away with getting paid all of last year by the Texans, then getting them brought into a lawsuit where they have to settle to get out of the lawsuit.
Yes.
And then you go get traded off. And now the Texans got their picks and everything that they will be able to build on, right? But then you get a guaranteed contract, and somehow they don't go in and go, hey, look, I get there's precedent set that this is the biggest fine we've ever given, but you broke precedent because there's never been a contract set for a guy who knew he was going to be suspended. No one has ever been so brazen to just go, oh, no, I did some bad things, allegedly, so I'm going to go ahead and backload my contract completely.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I'm not mad at his agent. His agent did a great job, and his agent has been getting all of his guys paid because that's what an agent is supposed to do.
Yeah.
You back your guys as family ties, as they like to say, and even if sometimes in the family, you know you got that person that you got to look at and say, look, man, clean it up. Clean it up because this is representation of everybody else that is a part of this family. You need to get this cleaned up. And I think that is why, you know, not only does he have to go to some therapy sessions and try to find out what is best, and he's going to find out a lot from himself. That's what the owner of the Cleveland Browns said, Dee Haslin. She's in his corner and hoping that he will be able to do it. But the one thing that came out of that conversation, not only about Deshaun and what he was saying during that time, because I think he needs to stop talking for a while and just really just say,
go away from
hey,
that.
Man, I accept the punishment. I'm going to go somewhere else for a little bit and just get himself right, go through this process. But the one thing that I continue to look at and I hope is going to happen, that the fine money goes to help others in these situations, try to help some of these women. The women have gotten paid. They've accepted the money. for whatever reason. We will never know what it is. Yep. We shouldn't. It should be sealed.
Could and be different that's what, each case person, it, too. So
everything could be a lot different. But for the Cleveland Browns and what they have to go through in this situation is a lot. And for the Brown fans, and that's what I want to know. I mean, Brown fans, I know you're out there. I know you're listening. What are your thoughts on this punishment? Is it too harsh? Is it something that – are you mad that he's on your team? Because I know at one point in the very beginning, they were all upset about it. And there was a big problem, and they were like, oh, I can't believe they did it. But then you see him go out and sign autographs, and everybody's excited and being around him. So what is it? What is it?
And I'm very big on redemption and trying
very
to get people
so. –
I'm a big fan of it, and it's, you know, when you're someone that wants prison reform, it's hard to go, hey, man, I want to reform prisoners and get people back into society. Also, this athlete or this celebrity did something, and they're done.
And I'm done with them, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm trying to – you try and find that middle ground, and the problem right now with Deshaun is there's no remorse. It does not appear there is any remorse. It does not appear that he's willing to accept what he did, which is kind of the first step for you to go, okay, move it on. We know Michael Vick is an example I use of a crazy redemption – that when all of a sudden he just pops up that he's on a morning show.
Right.
And people are like, I will never touch anything that he's ever done again. I'll never do anything. And I hate him. And I get it. But at the same fact, you saw what he was able to go through, and he served his time and he did his punishment. He apologized for everything. He spent a lot of money to repair his image. So to see everything happen that way, you go, all right, go take that model of somebody who I get. He went to jail. So there's a different redemption.
There's definitely a different one.
But you're able to step back and go, okay, let's see how this guy got from where he is no longer a pariah in the community. How can I get back to there? And the reality is accepting it, starting to work on yourself, understand why people would find what you did offensive,
right,
and go from there. If you can't even figure out, you're just like, and if you want to come out and be the heel, come out and say every one of these people is a flat-out liar. None of the things you have heard are true, but you admitted some of the things were true.
Right.
That's why we don't believe you.
Right.
Because you came out and you're like, oh, no, I did do that. Oh, I did do that. And then we go, well, that was wrong. And he goes, nah, that's not wrong.
Yeah.
Well, come on, man.
And again, too, you know, you start looking at what Judge Robinson said in her initial findings were he violated the personal conduct policy with egregious and predatory behavior. Well, the only thing that I have a problem with about that report is that was something that Roger Goodell and everybody was talking about publicly.
Yeah.
So that to me already shows me that Roger Goodell, once again, is trying to protect the shield and getting it out there.
Yeah.
And again, pounding his chest, talking about we're going to be hard on him. We demand this. We demand that. But you look at it and you're saying, what the heck is going on, man? Like, what is really happening? And why are you out there in a court of public opinion throwing it out there so much while this man is going through trial, while he's going through all the steps to find out what his fate is going to be, but you're being that boisterous? That's the only problem that I was having with Roger Goodell being judge, jury, and executioner.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, there's definitely – and the fact that he could walk out and go, we want a full year, and you go, you know you're the one talking settlement with him at the same time. So you're being somewhat two-faced in all of this as well.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's now coming. I'm glad that we're at least done with it, right? So we get – and we're next week, we don't really have to talk about that much more. We get to talk about other problems in the NFL. We get to talk about these other matchups. And one of the other matchups is one of the guys that goes from the Browns.
Right.
And now has a new home in Carolina that he has now been basically named the week one starter in Baker Mayfield. This seems like it had to be the thing to do, right? This had to be the choice. When you made the trade for Baker, and I know you didn't give up a ton for him,
right,
but when you made the trade for Baker Mayfield in Carolina, you knew what you had in Sam Darnold. You weren't like, were you expecting that maybe that pushes Sam further? I don't know why this was a competition for as long as it was. And then you let out at camp that he wasn't doing that well. Do you think this Baker Mayfield thing has been more smoke of maybe Matt Rhule not being the best NFL coach and him just trying to gets the best play out in Baker? Or is what do you think this – I don't get why there was so many reports of him being awful. They seem to come from more Matt Rhule.
Yeah. I think that I knew as soon as the trade happened, and I think you can go back and check the tape even, I said that I believe that Baker Mayfield is getting traded because he's going to be the starting quarterback. He took his team to the playoffs. He's a dog. He played last year with a separated shoulder. He on his front side. And if you've ever thrown a football – or baseball or any kind of ball, your front side is just as important as your throwing arm. And if you're uncomfortable and you can't get that to follow through or you can't drive through that front side, I didn't think it was a good situation for Baker. And I think Baker, personally, he should have sat out last year.
Yeah.
I know he was fighting for his contract. He wanted to get paid. But if I'm him, I would have sat out and just said, you know what? I need to get healthy because I need to earn all this money. But him going to Carolina, Robbie Anderson, who had to eat a little bit of crow because he was trying to fight for his guy, Sam Darnold, because they were in New York together playing for the Jets, and they went from one bad team to another bad team. I understand you riding with him, but now you have to figure out how do I get on Baker Mayfield's page, because Baker Mayfield is a better quarterback than Sam Darnold. And that's the one thing that I've always thought about when guys get to the next level. Some guys get better. Baker Mayfield is a Heisman Trophy winner, and everybody thought Sam Darnold was going to be the savior. My man sat on the sideline and talked about he was seeing ghosts.
Seeing ghosts.
And then that's the guy that you're going to try to have lead your organization. I didn't think that was the right thing to do, but I felt like when they made the trade, when he went to Carolina, I thought he was going to have a better opportunity. I thought he was going to get a chance to play better. But again, my man Michael Felder said it earlier. If you don't have an offensive line, no matter who's playing quarterback or playing running back, it really does not matter. So now that they've tried to make some changes, and Baker Mayfield's been with good teams and he's been with bad teams, he's been to lead, like I said, lead his team to the playoffs, I think Baker's earned that right to be that starting quarterback. And I'm telling you, I firmly believe he is going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the league this year just because of that moxie. Yes, y'all have heard me on this airways talk about sometimes that chip on his shoulder is a little bit too big, but now he's at a point now, and he's at a point where he can make an adjustment and get his career back on track. I think Baker Mayfield is going to do a great job for the Carolina Panthers.
Well, and I mean, if we look at that NFC South right now as well, we know the Falcons are in full rebuild mode with Mariota at quarterback, just basically trying to get everybody out. Pitts is your main receiving option that you have there. Ridley out for the season. Tampa Bay, we don't know. That's an aging team. It's Tom Brady, so you never count Tom Brady out, but an aging team there, so you're able to get some wins.
Yeah, they got three guys that are hurt on the offensive line right now. Brady may not come back this weekend.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, man, I got my work-life balance. I prefer my life.
Yeah, exactly.
And I feel like you're going to
I'm old.
Yeah, if y'all – he touched me one time, I'm going down. You remember that the sack, that straight hand sack?
Oh, yeah, for the guy Brett Favre.
That's going to be Tom Brady every time. He's falling over when guys get near him. And then the Saints, we don't know as well. Jameis Winston keeps getting hurt over and over again.
Yep.
So we don't know what they're going to be able to do. A different coach as well with Dennis Allen. So that division is up for it.
Yeah.
If you're able to keep Christian McCaffrey on the field, and that's going to be a big, big question, is keeping Christian McCaffrey on the field. DJ Moore, I feel, has got to be thrilled to have a quarterback there that may be able to use him for something.
Yep.
And then it's going to be, man, are you able to make it work with that coaching staff? Or does this coaching – that's, for me, watching Carolina, they're one of those teams that I don't know who goes first, if they bench Baker or if Matt Rhule gets fired.
Yeah.
Like, which one of those happens first? And it's, well, we're not winning. Well, is he throwing picks? If he's throwing three picks a game, maybe we can bench Baker.
Yeah.
But if he's not throwing picks and the offense isn't working, then that's on you. If it's interceptions, I get it. But that's where I'm wondering – with the Carolina Panthers this season, Matt Rhule probably is the only guy that I think has a chance to be fired before Mike McCarthy.
Yeah. That's what Vegas said, too. They were there together. It was those two coaches that were definitely on the hot seat. So we were talking about this just before we transitioned to Baker Mayfield, and there's a lot of people that are Cleveland fans that have been hitting us up on the Specs text line that thought one thinks that Baker should have had another chance. They felt like he earned that because of his time and what he did there when they made that trade for Deshaun Watson. I mean, the punishment seems to be fair is what he said. In 3 years when the Browns are winning and Deshaun is being Deshaun, nobody will even care. So we'll see what happens there because the Browns are looking for a winner too. When they went to the playoffs and Baker won that playoff game, you felt like they were going to the Super Bowl. That's how that city was feeling.
Yeah.
So there's a lot that goes into it. And let's not forget, too, this is a great point. Zeke got 6 games for doing nothing. remember that. I mean, the way that that whole thing went down, and that's probably why Jerry is still upset and still dealing with Roger Goodell the way that he's giving with him. Then we got another person who hit us up on the Specs text line. Jeff, my man, said, I'm embarrassed that he is my quarterback. Then again, I'm a Browns fan, and I'm used to being embarrassed by my quarterback. So we got to look at that, right? Right. And then we got this one, too. It says display sooner. He said, the Browns seem complicit in this somehow, and somehow seem slimier than Deshaun Watson. So there's that, too.
And I'll give you a look. We can get the Browns seem slimy for taking on this guy. If we want to go to franchises that slimy about it, we have to incorporate Houston in there. I get they got out of it when they did, and it kind of worked well that he asked for a trade right before that so they could kind of wipe their hands from it.
Yeah.
But this is the team who got him an NDA. This is the team who got him a room at a hotel to get massages. So Houston does have some liability in this as well. The Browns did not allow for any of this activity to happen. They just rewarded a guy who was involved in this activity.
Yeah.
So there's multiple franchises that we can say are slimy for having touched this, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm not as mad at the Browns for trading for Deshaun Watson, because I think in this league it is cutthroat, and if you think you can get a top quarterback, and you knew you weren't going to pay Baker anyway. Because even if you kept Baker, there is such a rift that he didn't like any coaches. He felt – and you can't have a guy like that feel like they're owed anything.
Right.
Because he's going to go, oh, no, I'm the quarterback. You go, no, man. It's the NFL.
Yeah, we're moving on, man.
And if you're not a top – like Dak Prescott has a year left before he starts to get that pressure of – hey, man, I'm the quarterback. Man, not when your contract's up.
Yeah.
When your contract's up, we're done with you. So I get it. I think best for Baker is to move on. If he's able to go into this Carolina team and breathe any life into it,
I think
he
does.
Keeps Matt Rhule's job, then you need to pay this man a lot of money.
Well, they might go behind the doors and try to do what they try to do to Brian Flores and say, hey, man, I need you to tank, Baker. We're going to keep you, but we cannot keep Matt Rhule. So Matt Rhule's my guy. I love me some Matt Rhule.
I think Matt Rhule is a great college football coach.
Yeah, and he might
Nick Saban is a great college football coach.
Yeah.
Doesn't need to be in the pros. Matt Rhule's face looks – you know that face you get? That Arkansas face?
Yeah.
Matt Rhule has that a lot.
Yeah. he's trying to figure out, why are we this bad? And by the way, breaking news, there was no news on the 40 Acres today about the starting quarterback, so we're still good. There's been a lot of reports coming out. But joining us in just a minute is a Lifetime Longhorn. I know it's going to be Rod's rant of the day, but we also have a special Lifetime Longhorn that's telling us about a camp that he has going on. And you've heard him on here before. It's your boy Harbaugh Harge and my man Patrick Davis behind the glass right here on Ball Don't Lie. We'll be right back.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Find out what happens when people stop being polite
and start getting real.
You ain't keeping it real.
My God, okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
No, you've got it now. It's time for Rod's Rant of the Day.
Hold on to your butts.
Yeah, y'all better hold on to your butts, but my man Rod Babers, I can't wait for him to get back tomorrow. Traveling on these days is going to get him fired up. But joining us now on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline is a Lifetime Longhorn. He was the school's first McDonald's All-American. He has been in this city since the day he was born in July of 77. But right now, he is joining us on the hotline to talk about a basketball camp that he's got going on. He is the man about town, my man, Chris Clack. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, how you doing, man? How's your day going?
It's good, man. Trying to sound all smooth right now, man. You're supposed to be getting hyped up about your camp that you got going on this weekend.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm just trying to settle down from getting everything together, but you know, it is what it is, man. The weather's kind of muggy, too.
So tell everybody about the camp that you got going on.
So we're working with BamFam Foundation, and if you need to sign up, you can sign up. Kids can sign up at BamFam.org. You go to free camps, clinics, and there's a scroll down area where you just fill in the information on the form, register, submit at the bottom, and you're in. You know, kids get signed up, they get, you know, earbuds and a shirt and shorts. It's at Del Valle High School from 9 to 12, grades 3rd through 12th grade. And, you know, shout out to KB Custom Pools and Mr. Gaddy's for, you know, they're going to be, Mr. Gaddy's going to be providing pizza and Del Valle ISD for allowing us to use the facilities. But a good opportunity is going to be boys and girls campers to, you know, work on their skills, you know, socialize with other children, have fun, and also, you know, go home with some prizes and some gifts. We got give out a golden ball to the to basically like the MVP or the best camper. And what I like to do is, you know, best camper is not always the best player at the camp. You know, it's the kid that's out there helping one another, being respectful and having fun and trying their best to you know, just, you know, play basketball and be a good person. So
yeah, full disclosure, my man Chris Clack has worked with my son DJ a couple times at a few of these camps, whether it was with the Austin Spurs or something that Chris had put on earlier before. And I'm telling you right now, if you got, you want to take your kids out there and learn from one of the best, not necessarily just because of the basketball aspect of it, but more about how to play the game and also about being a good person, Chris Clack and his crew always do a good job. So I'm always a big fan of what you've been doing, Chris. And not only that, man, let's talk about real quick before we get back into the camp information, talk about your daughter and her scholarship acceptance here just recently.
Yes, she committed to TCU here about a few months ago, and I'm happy and I'm very excited. I'm a proud father and just excited for her to get the opportunity to play at the next level and do what I put in front of her when she was 4 years old, and just begun to love it and enjoy it. And that's all I wanted, you know, to get. If she never played that basketball, I wouldn't care. But at the same time, I'm excited for her. I love the fact that she's going to stay in Texas. So I'm just excited. She's, you know, I talked to her yesterday. She's still working out, still preparing herself. So, you know, it's just in my blood, I guess. It's fun for me to watch and see her grow.
So speak to that. You know, as a father of someone whose son got a chance to go play college basketball, I know about the competitive nature and some of the things that you can look at and see. Is there certain times that you're up in the stands where it's like, ooh, I wish he would have went another way, or ooh, I wish he would have pulled that shot right there, or look for that next player?
I'm always trying to get eye contact with
I know exactly.
I just tell her not to look in the stairs, and now I'm like, you don't look over here. Because there's one thing, and she doesn't do it like, well, she does this bounce pass, and there's a time and a place to bounce pass, you know, and then she's tall, 6 foot. So I was like, if you don't stop doing that bounce pass, it's slow sometimes, and you only use those at certain times. And I try to get eye contact, but, and then there's other times where, you know, referees aren't doing too well, so I have to exit myself out the gym for a while, but
I understand completely. I understand completely. We had this conversation the other day. Sometimes we got to step back as parents and just kind of let them do it, because they got there because of the gifts and the conversations that we had prior to this, and they understand what it's all about. We're talking to Chris Clack, lifetime Longhorn. He got his jersey retired at Anderson High School not too long ago. And again, he was the first McDonald's All-American in school history. So, Chris, we'll get back into the camp in just a second, but I want to talk about the University of Texas. Obviously, Chris Beard coming in, bringing back the entire crew, and really wanting all of the former players to be around and show the love to this new group of Longhorns. So when you talk to Coach Beard and being around the program, what is it that you're loving about everything?
Well, Beard is so inviting to all the players. First time I went to the practice, I was able to talk to the team. He introduced me. When Beard got here as like the video coordinator, he was on his way out as I was coming in. So, but the connection with Beard, me and him, he did a lot of fast break basketball summer AAU. That Larry Alexander, rest in peace, and a friend of mine, Greg Davis, used to run, and was one of the helpers recruiting kids to get on these teams. So, and I remember him recruiting me then. But it's awesome, man, to see it. And you know, he's good for the city. He's good for the team. He's very transparent, which I love. But he also knows what he's talking about, you know, with the defense first.
and just try to get those guys to gel together and play together. I think he'll do a great job of that.
Well, he's always talked about Coach Penders and what he meant to him and how he decided to be a part of that and bring Coach Penders back. Coach Penders came back, actually, for your jersey retirement at Anderson High School. So talk about your relationship with Coach Penders and what it meant for him to come back and be a part not only of the Longhorns but also being a part of your life and coming to your retirement of your jersey ceremony.
Well, Coach Penders has always been like a, you know, second father to me. You know, when my father was here and we were, you know, first met Coach Penders, he was very open and very inviting and you know, and vice versa with my father. So they had a really good relationship. So to this day, I call him, you know, check on him and Miss Susie. And, you know, he's doing better. He's, you know, rehabbing, you know, he got two rods, you know, put in his back for surgery. He had back problems. But he's doing better, and I talk to him as much as I can. I call him for information on what I need to do for my daughter as far as recruiting, what questions do I need to ask, what do I need to look for in these coaches. So he's done a, you know, awesome job of giving me information and keeping me in tune to what to look for and, you know, just information I need for my child, you know, some of the stuff that I may not have known, you know, when I was younger. So he's just been a good outlet for me to this day. Just, you know, I call and check on him. So not only was he my coach, you know, a great coach at that, but, you know, he's become my friend now. So, and along with Barnes, I talk to Barnes from time to time as well. So I try my best to keep in contact with these guys because, you know, my parents taught me a lot about respecting your elders. So, and that's, you know, I always want to listen to older people because that's the wise, and that's, you know, and it's funny because when I try to tell the young kids, and they look at me like, hey, I don't know what I'm talking about. Well, you know, and we've been through it already, so it's kind of, you know, understanding that aspect of life now, being older and trying to connect with these young kids.
Yeah, because that's the funny part about it too. You know, we were looking at our parents talking about that kind of stuff, and like, man, what are you talking about? I know what I'm talking about. No, bro, you really don't, because they have gone through what you've gone through. So it's always a humbling experience, especially now with your kids and with my kids and having to have these conversations. So it makes you appreciate the elders a lot more when they give us some knowledge.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you know me, I don't talk much. I do a lot of listening. So that's me listening and learning and trying to grow myself as a person. So.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So tell everybody about the camp and where they need to go to sign up for the camp.
Go to www.badfam.org. Like I said, sign up. It says free camps. Register, and you just, like I said, use the scroll down and complete the form. And, like, you know, come to camp, be ready, energized, ready to play. A good buddy of mine does has a good speech, a good rah-rah, and it really gets the campers going. So just be ready to come out and have fun and learn. And so, once again, it's Saturday, 3rd through 12th grade, 9 to 12. I'll be providing pizza from Mr. Gaddy's. And it's at Dell Valley High School. And like I said, I mean, just come be ready. You're going to get a shirt, your shorts, and some more fun items to leave and go home with. So just be ready to play.
No doubt. No doubt. Chris, when basketball gets closer, I'm going to definitely hit you up because we want to know your thoughts on these Horns and what the expectations are, because this year I know that everybody's excited to be in the Moody, but they're also ready for them to try to make another run to the Final Four. There he is, Chris Clack, the man, University of Texas legend, and he's got a camp that's going on this weekend. Go to bamfam.org to get more information and get signed up. Thanks, Chris.
All right, thank you, and don't forget to give me a DJ schedule this year. I'm going to come check him out, whatever he's playing, so let me know.
I got you, brother. You know I'll reach out to you. There he is, Chris Clack, and we'll be back with more Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn.
Bucky and Aaron.
Here's the story of Mike Zimmer.
Welcome back to a Yacht Rock Thursday. Make sure you check out my man Chris Clack. Go to bamfam.org. He's got a camp going on this weekend. Lifetime Longhorn, doing great things in the community as always. And congratulations to his daughter as she is making her way in the basketball world as well. We got a quick off the record that we want to get into right now that we didn't get a chance to talk about yesterday. And my man Patrick Davis got a little bit of news about the San Antonio Spurs and what is going to be happening here at the Moody Center.
Yeah, it's the Spurs. The NBA announced a schedule yesterday. A whole bunch of games came out. Of course, the Spurs are not in any major games, surprisingly. they're not in anything major because the team is most likely tanking this entire season. But because the Spurs are trying to stretch their fan base, they're going to be doing games, home games, in different arenas this season. They're going to be doing a game down in Mexico City on December 17th. But they're also going to be doing games at the Moody Center here in Austin at the very end of the season, April 6th and 8th. I believe those games are against Portland. So we'll see Greg Brown return to Austin.
That's right.
And then the Minnesota Timberwolves, Karl-Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert, Anthony Edwards, some really good games there. So that is going to be fun. It's going to be interesting to see how well they can fill out here in Austin to see those games. I'm sure the Austin Spurs will be coming down to represent at those games as well. And then the crazy one is that they're doing a game at the Alamo Dome because the Spurs are celebrating their 50th year.
Okay, that's what I've been trying to figure out. Why is it happening this way?
So this is what they're saying is it's the 50th anniversary. I think they're trying to do some things to spark ticket sales because ticket sales were down last year, and that's when they still had DeJounte Murray. So they still had a couple more guys last year. They know this season is going to be rough, so they're saying, let's do some things and get around. But they're going to be at the Alamo Dome. They're going to be playing the defending champion Golden State Warriors. Ooh. So they're going to be playing a big game. But they're the indoor record for the record for a regular season NBA game is around 62,000. Okay. The Alamo Dome and the setup they're going to have it in can hold over 65,000. So they're going for the record of an NBA game. And, man, I don't know anyone who has taken a more brazen approach to, hey, we are going to play a game. We are going to be awful. We're actively trying to be bad this year.
Right.
We are going to play against the team who beat everybody last year. So we're probably going to lose by 30 to 40.
But hey, if you want to see them, yeah.
65,000 people. So the tickets, I think, go on sale at the end of the month or beginning of it's either September 1st or August 31st, but they go on sale, I believe, right around the end of the month. And I'm so curious because all anyone's asking now is what is the price going to be? What is a price point for you for the Alamo Dome game to put 65,000 people in to see an arguably terrible product? Now, you're going to see Steph Curry, probably. And, I mean, it's going to be on ESPN. You know the league is going to be like, hey, guys, if you could really not rest people.
Yeah,
if you could go ahead and play. And you'd want to play because you'd want to play in a stadium just to be like, oh, I want to see what, like, we're playing basically like a Final Four setup.
What's my price point? I don't even know what the price point is for an NBA game anymore.
So, I mean, if you're saying lower level, you're probably paying $80 a ticket.
I'm definitely in for that.
But if you're, but I mean, for $65,000, you're going to have to sell like $10 tickets, $5 tickets. $65,000.
Well, if that's the case, I'm going to buy 8 of them they're $80,000.
But that's the thing if you're a family, a family, you got 3 kids.
Yep.
And so you're saying $80 a ticket for three.
Oh, no, then no, we're not doing
that. That's what
I'm
saying.
No.
So now, if you're trying to put $65,000, you know you're a bad team. This is why it's crazy to me is because I'm so curious to see what they put out. Because if they try and make money on this deal, like you got to lose money. You have to know you're going to lose money. Because if you try and make money on this, you could have 5,000 people in a 65,000-seat arena for stadium. For a game, I mean, to make too much money.
So let me ask you this, and you follow the Spurs really, really close. So for me, they had to think this out, right? You had to think.
Oh, you have to. But that's the thing is, there's two thought process. One, we're going to market it as this really big, cool game, so people are just going to buy tickets regardless. Not thinking people will not buy tickets if they're too expensive. And San Antonio has traditionally been a place that. Lowest ticket prices in the league for a lot of years because it has a lot of large families.
Yeah.
So someone goes, man, I got 6 kids. I can't go to a game. 6 kids, feed the kids, parking, everything else. Yeah. That I mean, even with when we had $20 tickets, you're like, that's a $300 night for me. So it's hard for me to do that very often.
Okay.
So if you're saying, man, upper deck there, though, because it's a football stadium. Harsh.
Right, right.
$5 tickets, right?
Yeah, I've been in there. I got kicked out of there a couple times. So, yeah, no. So let's figure this out. So how does I want to know what day did you say that these tickets are going to go on sale?
I believe at the end of the month. I believe so. Okay. Either the end of the last day of the month or the first day of September, I believe, is what I had read. The game's in January 13th.
Okay.
So the game is early next season. Weather will most likely be awful. So
that's why I'm curious to what the price will be if you're trying to sell out a stadium like
65,000 tickets.
And you really want that to happen, you have to make the lower bowl, you would have to look at it as probably $50 tickets.
Yeah,
and then
I mean,
everything else.
Because you're going to have your bottom part where you go, all our season ticket holders would come down there. We'll have all of our season tickets move up close. We'll have all of our sponsors. We'll give away a ton of tickets to all of our sponsors and put them everywhere else. But we're still going to have to sell 50,000 tickets.
Yeah. And then you got also got to look at what's going to happen, too, not only there at the Alamo, but here.
Yeah.
At Moody. I mean, I'm sure that those are not going to be cheap tickets either.
Oh, no. I think Moody's going to be expensive. The question is with Moody, is it, will they open up the top?
To try to see if they can sell that out,
see if they can
right?
sell the top, or if they'll wait to do that until they sell some more tickets at the bottom.
Yeah. Man, this is going to be
But it's just funny because if this team was good right now, if this is the Tim Duncan team, everywhere sells out, not a problem.
Yeah, that would have been already done. Yeah, that wouldn't even been a conversation because of how easy that would have been done. So, yeah, I feel you on that. So, it's something that I'm definitely going to try to check out.
We have to check back in. We'll let you know. If you got a price point, you'd say, like, I don't know how much you paid for the last tickets you paid for. Like, what's your price point of breaking point to go to a game?
Yeah.
But, the NBA gets more and more expensive.
My favorite is free.
My favorite is free, too. I like being in the box where the food's free, too, and there's some
everything
drinks.
Is there.
I just like to have it in the box.
Yeah.
I just like to live the sweet life, but that's me.
Yeah. Hey, I ain't mad at you. I'm valet, bro. So don't worry about it. Dog. We'll figure that out, too. Man, there's just so much to digest. By the way, there is football tonight. We'll get into it when we come back, and we'll get onto Sark's press conference that he had today after practice. There's some news and notes that came out, and I want to make sure and ask what you think about it, Patrick. We'll be back right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn.